Okay. Good morning. God is good. At all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. We're glad you're here, that I can see you as well as those that are online. I didn't know how many of you would show up with the weather. The reasons you might be here is because you're stir crazy and you haven't been out for a while. Or it's just churches where we need to be. But we're glad you're here and hope those that couldn't be with us are able to watch us online today or later. We don't normally announce it, but last week was Jim and Carol Thompson's 65th wedding, and we put it back in because nobody was here last week to say happy anniversary to them. So they're here today, so if you want to greet them. And as Carol told me, it was snowing on their wedding then too, as it is now. Something's coming up. I just know Lunch Bunch is Wednesday. That's lunch will be provided, so please come and join in that. The Ash Wednesday service is coming up on the 18th. There'll be a service at noon and at 7 with communion and ashes. And then moving on, the Super Bowl's next week. The Super Bowl here is for us with two things you need to bring if you're coming. One is there's that little green slip to make reservations. We need items for the pantry, so note that those are there in that second paragraph. And if you're going to be able to bring some food, please sign up for that as well. And that's in that one, two, three, that fourth paragraph in the bold. So please let us know about those things. There's other things going on, the Valentine cards you can do through the internet. Prayer partner list is up here. Please sign up if you want to be part of that for Lent. I'll be getting that list together and making sure you get those on the first Sunday of Lent on that. So please do that as well. The discussion groups are coming up. The one will start on the Saturday after Ash Wednesday on the 21st. And then there's another one that will be announced later, but the details are there. If you have any questions, see Laura. And you can talk about that. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and our hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we gather together to worship this day.
For all those who are able, please stand and let us join together in the call to worship. God has told us what is good, so we come together to be God's justice. For God has told us what is good, so we come together to be God's loving kindness. God has told us what is good, so we come together to be God's humble compassion. We bring bodies, hearts, minds, and souls to be a redeemed and redeeming community. Let us worship our God. Let us join together in the prayer of adoration and confession. Blessed and blessing God, we are blessed by this community you have given us to help us live as attentive and thankful people. We are blessed by your generosity, which floods our world because of who you are and not because of anything we do. Bless us with the reminder that your creation is a realm of kindness, grace, love, beauty, hope, and mercy, and inspire us to live so that we will embody those blessings in every breath we take. Patient God, we confess that we have often chosen our limited human wisdom over your immeasurably foolish love. We confess that too often we assume that power and authority are more valuable and more effective change agents than humility and self-reliance. We confess that we see and value too highly the signs of worldly success while ignoring the transforming gestures of grace and blessing. Forgive us for choosing to stumble again and again over our own agendas. Open our ears to your foolish promise. Open our eyes to the power of the weak to change your world. Open our hearts to the life of abundant equity that is hidden in plain sight. In the name of the highest, who became servant of all, let it be so. Amen.
When we know ourselves to be weak and sinful, we find that God places us among the very ones who need to be blessed. Jesus came for those who long to be forgiven and who long to live a different life. He came with a new way of seeing and being, and this is reality in the reign of Christ. Jesus is God's gift of love and grace to us now, and a foretaste of the coming reign of heaven on earth. Praise be to God. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning from the Minor Prophets of the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now that what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened with Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Praise the Lord.
As we continue in God's Word, we're going to hear from the Gospel of Matthew, the first 12 verses. It's known as the Beatitudes, so they might be a little familiar to you as I read them. Jesus is teaching to the disciples, and it tells us in the Scripture in the first verse that it's up on the mountain. So listen to these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This text I just shared with you has been considered one of the best known passages of Scripture. So that has a good news, bad news thing about it. And the good news is it's part of our memory banks. Parts of it, as I was reading it, or maybe in some form, we've heard this over the course of time. And it's sort of kind of close to the original, what we remember, but it's familiar as you hear it. The bad news is sometimes I think we assume we know it, which means that we didn't listen to it when we first read it or heard it read, that we're missing something. And my guess is that at least halfway through as I was reading it, some of you might have said, "Oh, I already know that." So I want to just look at it a little differently today, from a little different perspective. And so if you take a deep breath like we do when we start prayer, just sort of let go of everything else and let's do another look and pay attention. Because this call that Jesus is asking us to do here, this is a radical call, is to change to not know. For most of us, when there's a call to change what we do, we feel we have to change who we are. And I don't know about you, but I think we all have some insecurities about ourselves. And we don't always feel confident that we can change anything, or we have the ability to do that. Sometimes we can accomplish our jobs and our chores and the errands that come our way, we can deal with all of those. But when we're confronted with something we've never done before, or we don't fully understand, sometimes we feel we can accomplish the skills to do that, and sometimes we just say, "Not me," and we turn and walk away. That's a defense mechanism, that when we turn away. Spiritually, I was reading some things and I was in some discussion with some fellow clergy that when we do that spiritually by turning away, it is a way of maybe turning away from having a deep and more personal relationship with God, because that's just too hard. And we always take pride in what we do in our lives. And you know, we pick up our calendars and we look at them and says, "Well, I got lunch here and I got a meeting there and I'm going to see my family here and I'm going to do this and I have a doctor's appointment there." And our calendar is just filled with all of these things. And we're supposed to be retired too, some of us, right? And it's like, that's how we define ourselves. And if things don't go our way or if that schedule gets messed up, there's stress and anxiety. And sometimes we wear that as a badge of honor, that we have all these things that we're about. and what we do. Confidence in our ability to do, and we think we can keep going. What it does, I think, it makes us feel self-sufficient, self-made, that we don't need anybody else. And the term that I read and found, it's called that we're self-reverential, which means we believe that our personal experience is the norm for everybody else. How I feel and what I do is just like everybody else. And what that does, it narrows the perspective, because we're not really thinking about all those people out there. We're only thinking about ourselves through our own analysis and our own subjectivity about what's going on. And then my concept or your concept of God becomes the current concept of God. We don't look beyond that because we feel we've got all the answers. So what Jesus does is he's not calling us to merely doing. He does do that. But he's also calling us to being. To be. And when I first start thinking about this, I thought, well, the first time I thought about it, I was in a stressed out place. And I'm thinking, how am I going to have time if I get asked by God to do something more? But he's really asking us to do, to be more than to do. And so these radical beatitudes or blessings, go back and look at them again. It doesn't say anything about what we're supposed to do to bring about the kingdom or the commonwealth of God. He's telling us that the kingdom is already here. Go back and look at it. It's about we're supposed to be here. They don't list things that we need to do to be saved. They're describing what the divine community of God's people is supposed to be. You know, sometimes we don't look at it that way. And what it's doing, it's inviting us to be part of a transformed humanity that this into this kingdom, this world that God has already created into existence. And we're just supposed to accept that. And what we do as faith community is we incarnate some of God. And by not doing just a fact, but just being who you are. Sometimes you think you need to do these special things. And I always thought that one of the reasons I stayed away from ministry, besides the fact that my dad was a minister and I thought the church killed him and I was never going to do this, was that I found out you needed to be who you are, not be like somebody else. You know, and don't compare yourself to somebody else. That's not what Jesus is calling us to do, calling us to be who we are. People who respond to each other as people, as human beings respond to one another. That's bringing God into our space. To understand who we are as people of God. And when we talk about peacemakers, you know, everything's in the news and we hear stuff all the time. And it's not that we can beat up some tyrant or impose a ceasefire or do anything. What makes peace is that one of us or all of us are willing to say, stop, it's enough. In my place in the world where I live and exist, violence will cease. From me to you, from me to my neighbor. It's all about what I can do with another person. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. Not those big things that everybody reads about in the paper. What is it we do in that little circle of living that we do, the people that we see every day? And sometimes I find it's easier to do than to be. When I want to do, that's when I show up here on Wednesday because my presence is expected. And I do ministerial things. When I don't want to deal with stuff that I have to deal with, I sit in front of the computer and go down the rabbit hole searching for stuff for sermon illustrations. You know, you feel like you got to do something. But if I want to stop doing, I can do that even if it's inconvenient, but I can't stop being. That's harder, because who we are, we've become who we are because of the situations and incidents in our lives. And that's harder to change because sometimes we've been accustomed to doing things a certain way. When I transferred from the University of Cincinnati down to Georgetown College in Kentucky, I lost some credits, and so I had to go to summer class and some winter things we did, intensive term, in January. And I took some kind of drama class just because I needed credits. And I remember we were in a situation where it was more of an ad-lib thing, and so the professor had a situation and had someone lay on the floor, and they were a victim of a crash, and then looked around the room and said, you're going to be the EMT, and you're going to be the pedestrian on the street, and you're going to be this. Go. And in the moment, you had to respond from that perspective. Some like the story when that's why we have four different gospels, because we have four different perspectives of who Jesus was. But it comes out of the reality of the moment, how we responded to that. So what happens here, that analogy is not the most perfect, but if we walked on stage and God told us through the Beatitudes that I just read who we are, how would you respond? And I wrote a couple of ways to look at that. We are a community of individuals aware that we live only through God's unending abundance, that God has given us what we need. We are a community of individuals that mourn for all who are suffering, known and unknown. We are a community of individuals ruled neither by our anger nor by the need to appease others, but what is right. We are a community of individuals who yearn for God's righteousness as much as one has a dry throat and yearns for water. We are a community of individuals who are compassionate. We are a community of individuals who rest so fully in God that our deepest perfect desire coincides with God's deepest desire for us. We try to be in sync with what God wants. We are a community of individuals that establishes peace by being that nonviolent presence with others. And finally, we are a community of individuals who are committed to facing into the criticism sometimes, the condemnation sometimes, and sometimes the hatred of those for whom what we believe might be a threat. On this Sunday and on all days, every morning, I begin to find out, and maybe that's because I'm on the other spectrum, closer to my end of life here than I was 40 years ago. But I feel great to be able to put my feet on the floor and stand up and thank God for the day. And we can do that every day because we're part of this world and we're part of God's creation. And we've already been transformed and we're already part of the community of faith and we're already part of the kingdom of heaven. And God has already claimed us. And so we have to think that way, that we're already being claimed by God. And what we do individually and as a congregation is intended to grow out of who we are as people of God. Not what we want to be, but who are we already? What do we bring to the table? Why are we here? Why do we think this is important? And we get empowered because there is this sense that we are rooted in God. That we have become connected to God and to each other, to what is the important things to do in the world. And so we need to constantly be reminded, God's kingdom is already here among us. God has named us as citizens to live in this community of what is already here. God has already done what is necessary. It is our job to do what we need to do to continue to expand the kingdom. Who are you? You are who you are in God's eyes. It's not for me to name. It is for you and God to figure out. May we be so. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are able to please stand as we sing our hymn, Jesus Calls Us, number 345 in the hymn book. You may be seated. As we come before God this morning, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? I need to thank Kendra for being here today. I neglected that earlier in the service. I just turned around and started ducking back in behind the organ. She likes to hide back there with Michael. We do have a couple prayers that I do thing. I know that for Vicky, her mom is home now. And Friday, she brought Tim home, and he's also sitting right next to her, so we welcome Tim back. We're glad to see him today. He's been down the same route that I and Chuck and other people with knee and hip surgery, so he's had that as well as some other things. So we're glad he's with us today. Diana and Dave have given me a prayer for their granddaughter, Elisa Stam, who's having, she's talking about this, their granddaughter who had that shoulder injury. She's having shoulder surgery tomorrow to tighten up the ligaments in her weak shoulder due to dislocation. Rehab will not start for 6 weeks, and doctor is not even sure it will work. I understand that, Diana. The doctor put that cadaver ligament in my knee, and I was told I was in that brace for 10 weeks, and was told you may not be able to straighten your knee until it took the brace off. Yeah, so prayers for Elisa as she goes through that process. Again, as I said earlier in the service of us all being here today, even with the weather, there are people who are still affected by it. There are portions of the United States where people still haven't gotten out and are without. I was lucky and had power through the whole storm. Some people were not. I saw on social media, I live in Green Township, and there were some pictures of people even the other day where the streets have not all been plowed and cleared. So there are people still adjusting to what's going on. And in the bitter cold, we all braved it to be here, and it was important for us, but there are people still being affected. There are also, as we announced earlier, birthdays and anniversaries. There's always a homebound person for the week that's in the bulletin. We ask you to look at those, I think, and then to pray for all those individuals and situations that we print in there. We don't always talk about them out loud, but we know they exist, and we continue to keep all of those individuals in prayer. So as we prepare to come before God in prayer, I'm going to ask you to help center down, to take a deep breath, and then to let it out, and then breathe in God, and then breathe out, and then breathe in, and breathe out, breathe in, and breathe out. Oh God, as we have gathered together this day in this place, you already know what lays upon our minds and our hearts, and you know the needs that we bring to you in prayer. Because we have opened our minds and hearts to you. Sometimes, oh God, we get locked up in those prisons of old patterns. Help us to discover as we move through this life how we can touch other people's lives, how we can move into a new freedom. Maybe to be more aware of that still small voice that speaks to us. Sometimes we ignore it. And may we be more focused on what it is you are trying to say to us each and every day. Oh God, as we go through living, sometimes there are those low points and sometimes those high points. When we are in those low points, we pray you to be there to guide us, to give us direction, to allow us not to despair, to be aware of others around us. And when we're on those high points, to be with us in that time of celebration and to experience love between one another and to be in the moment, to know the presence of the Spirit. Today we have heard the Beatitudes, O God, and to what we are to move into, what already is. And so help us to be more faithful in our daily living as we strive to be faithful to those. To let your Spirit and your Word and our movement show to others what we believe and where our faith is grounded and how important it is us to be people of faith. We ask, O God, that you be with those that we have lifted aloud and silently this day. Strengthen them, nourish them, give them hope. Let them know your presence in some special way. But most of all, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus the Christ. And when he was among us, he taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What offering can we bring to God? All our wealth is not enough to express our praise. How shall we share in tasks beyond our ability to accomplish? Yet God chooses us and our gifts to make a difference in the world. God employs our weakness to shame the strong. God prospers our work and witness, transforming the world, beginning with us. Let us share in the joy of giving. The ushers may now come forward.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Blessed and blessing God, we are blessed by this community you have given us to help us live as attentive and thankful people. We are blessed by your generosity, which floods our world because of who you are and not because of anything we do. Bless us with the reminder that your creation is a realm of kindness, grace, love, beauty, hope, and mercy, and inspire us to live so that we will embody those blessings in every breath we take. Amen. Let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as we move in to gather about the table. And together we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was made known to Mary and then to two of the disciples in the breaking of the bread. This is a joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth and children gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who wish to receive the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. O God, of majesty and mercy, we give you thanks for calling forth a creation and raising us from dust by the breath of your being. We bless you for the beauty and the bounty of the earth and for the vision of the day when sharing by all will mean scarcity for none. We remember the covenant you made with your people Israel, and we give you thanks for all of our ancestors in the faith. We rejoice that you call us to reconciliation with you and all people everywhere, and that you remain faithful to your covenant even when we are faithless. We rejoice that you call us, the entire human family, to this table of sacrifice and victory. We come in remembrance and celebration of the gift of Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be the good news. You were born of Mary, our sister in the faith. Christ lived among us to reveal the mystery of your word, to suffer and die on the cross for us, to be raised from death on the third day, and then to live in glory. We bless you, gracious God, for the presence of your Holy Spirit in the church you have gathered, and with your sons and daughters of the faith in all places and times, we praise you with joy. We remember on that night that Jesus sat with the disciples in that upper room. He took the bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after he had given thanks to God, he said, "This cup is a new covenant of my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Gracious God, accept with favor this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we now present with these holy gifts. We offer to you ourselves, giving you thanks for the perfect offering of the only one begotten by you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. My friends, the gifts of God for the people of God, come. All things are now ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. Thank you. This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have the gift of eternal life and forgiveness. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand as we join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn. Together, let us pray. Loving God in Jesus Christ, with gratitude for your holy nourishment about this table, we dedicate our lips to be the hopeful voice of Christ to the despairing, our hands to reach out in Christ's name to heal the broken, our feet to walk with Christ to visit those who are shunned, our bodies to be Christ's living sacrifice to break the power of death. Take us, empower us, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, the Beatitudes challenge us to look at the life we're already living. And Matthew tells us in those Beatitudes that we're already in the kingdom and that we are to live out of that to those around us. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way to understand, but a way that we need to sometimes live to share the good news with those who need to hear it, to come and be part of the kingdom. So until we meet again, share the good news, and God will be with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.